WTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we've got a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk, beginning with breaking news from Liberty Counsel early afternoon today. At the conclusion of an emergency hearing, a federal district court of Illinois has issued a temporary restraining order against North Shore University Health System on behalf of 14 healthcare workers who've been unlawfully discriminated against and denied religious exemptions from the shot mandate. The court said the plaintiffs are likely to prevail on Title VII and the Illinois Healthcare Right of Conscience Act. The court has set November 16th for a preliminary injunction hearing. In the meantime, Liberty Counsel will file a brief with the court for a conditional class status to extend this relief to the entire class of healthcare workers. Breaking news from Liberty Counsel. Be praying for them as they are filing this report in time for this November 16th hearing. Well, we thank you for joining us here today. We've got a lot of stories, lots of different issues that we'll be presenting for you here today. We trust that this will keep you informed on critical matters and certainly be better prayer warriors for our nation and the importance of spreading the good news of the gospel. Certainly, as we see the depravity of man all around us here, we know that the gospel is life transforming. Continuing on with a lot of news here today, President Biden, this is from Newsmax.com. President Biden said yesterday he has secured a new $1.75 trillion framework for economic and climate change spending that could pass the Senate and expressed confidence that it would win the backing of all wings of the Democratic Party. He said, quote, I need you to help me. I need your votes. I don't think it's hyperbole to say that the House and Senate majorities and my presidency will be determined by what happens in the next week. CBN News says it's not a done deal, but the current framework could push the plan closer to the finish line. No one got everything they wanted, including me, Biden said. Holdouts, Senator Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, have agreed on key points, which include more than $500 billion to fight climate change. On the social side, folks, by the way, we can't fight climate change. You know, Scripture is very clear that God is the one who holds this earth. And summer and winter, day and night, is not going to cease. On the social side, it's going to provide universal pre-kindergarten, extending the child tax credit for a year, and measures Democrats say will reduce health care premiums and in-home care waiting list. Democrats are still working on how to pay for the new spending. Biden had acknowledged that some parts of the agenda will not get done in the current round of legislation, including the free community college, federal paid family leave, and lowering prescription drug prices. From townhall.com, one of the things that are included, though, is in this framework, doubles funding for the Internal Revenue Services. House Republicans are fighting back. They're saying, hey, instead of this proposal for this new IRS surveillance, let's hire more and train more border agents, not 87,000 more IRS agents. From the Washington Free Beacon, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband hit pay dirt Monday as Tesla's valuation rose to $1 trillion. Thank you, Nancy. The news comes as Pelosi spearheads legislation that doles out tens of billions of dollars in subsidies to the electric vehicle industry, including Tesla, with provisions to build charging stations for cars and incentivize electric car purchases through tax credits. The financial dealings of Pelosi's husband, Paul, came under scrutiny earlier this year when he purchased as much as $1 million of Tesla call options, one of the largest transactions of Tesla shares disclosed by a member of Congress. And now with the Pelosi push, the stock that her husband has, we understand, has soared. From the Washington Examiner, the Biden administration is reportedly considering paying out hundreds of thousands of dollars to migrant families separated at the southern border during the Trump administration, about $1 billion in total. Officials from the Department of Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, and Justice Department have proposed paying each person $450,000, or nearly $1 million per two-person family, to settle claims about the lasting traumatic and psychological effects of being torn apart as a result of former President Trump's zero-tolerance policy, the Wall Street Journal reported yesterday afternoon. The payments are in response to lawsuits filed in the aftermath of the policy, rolled out nationwide in April 2018 and stopped in June of 2018. Approximately 5,500 children separated at the border, sent to HHS facilities while their parents were referred for prosecution for illegally crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. Families could not be detained through these legal proceedings, prompting the separations. Well, the amount paid out to each family would depend on the circumstances of each separation. Now, keep in mind, so they're entering the country illegally. They've broken the law by coming in. President Trump separated because he didn't have facilities for families, and now looking at paying each person $450,000 to compensate the families. Judicial Watch is reporting while Americans struggle through pandemic-induced financial hardships and the supply chain crisis, the U.S. government is dedicating millions of dollars to provide bicycles for residents of sub-Saharan Africa. It's worth mentioning that some of the world's largest bike manufacturers have been heavily impacted by the unprecedented supply chain delays, resulting in a global bicycle shortage, according to an international business publication. Additionally, bike prices are climbing, and buying one at a reasonable price is proving to be difficult for many Americans, a financial news website reported. Well, domestic shortages and affordability issues, though, are not stopping Uncle Sam from funding an international program known as Bicycles for Growth Initiative. Aims to improve sustainable access to affordable bicycles in sub-Saharan Africa, which includes dozens of countries. The U.S. will allocate some $3.5 million to the project. That's according to an announcement issued by the United States Agency for International Development. Bidenflation is being called. U.S. home prices jump a record of 19.9%. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller National Home Price Index soared 19.9% in the 12 months leading to August. That's the largest price jump in records going back to the 1980s. Biggest jump in home prices was Phoenix, Arizona, 33.3%, followed by San Diego, 26.2%, Tampa, 25.9%. Let's get to another topic. NationalReview.com reporting that the Taiwan president, Tsai Ing-wen, confirmed that American soldiers are stationed in the country. Yes, we have a wide range of cooperation with the U.S. aimed at increasing our defense capability. He was asked if troops were involved, U.S. troops, with Taiwanese soldiers. However, when asked how many U.S. troops are stationed in Taiwan, he answered not as many as people thought. He also addressed rising tensions with China, saying the threat from China is increasing every day. CNSNews.com tells us that the U.S. intelligence agency community assesses that the Afghanistan-based terrorist groups ISIS-K and Al-Qaeda intend to attack the United States and could have the ability to do so in as little as 6 months in the former case and within a year or two in the latter. That was said by a senior Pentagon official to lawmakers on Tuesday. He said, I think the intelligence community currently assesses that both ISIS-K and Al-Qaeda have the intent to conduct external operations, including against the United States, but neither currently has the capability to do so. That was Under Secretary of Defense for Policy, Colin Kahl, told the Senate Armed Services Committee. The Joint Chiefs, the Joint Staff's Director of Operations, Lieutenant General James Mingus, also testified, saying he concurred, adding that the assessment has been refined as recently as last week. Al-Qaeda and ISIS intend to attack the U.S. in as early as 6 months? That's not my word. That's what was shared at the briefing in Washington. From WND.com and Western Journal, with about 55,600 Afghan refugees currently parked at military bases, the Biden administration wants to leapfrog the existing system of refugee resettlement agencies. It wants to create sponsorship circles of veterans and others who will provide money for refugees to have housing, furniture, silverware, and a variety of other expenses, as well as develop a resettlement plan for each refugee. To hurry up the process, the Biden administration wants to place refugees beyond the former 100-mile limit from a resettlement office, but to be resettled across the U.S., granted thousands of dollars to buy furniture and silverware and other aspects, other issues. Let's go to FoxNews.com. Pentagon stated Tuesday, that nearly 450 American citizens are still in Afghanistan following the military withdrawal. That's more than the Biden administration had previously claimed. Latest tallies came from the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy at the hearing in Washington, D.C. Interesting. Let's go to pjmedia.com. On Sunday, KGVO reported that a 19-year-old man on a worldwide trip from Afghanistan, that's what it's a quote, on a worldwide trip from Afghanistan, was arrested and charged with sexual assault with an 18-year-old woman at a Residence Inn by Marriott in downtown Missoula, Montana. According to the station and recent statements from the Montana Governor Greg Gianforte, the suspect wasn't a world traveler. He was in Montana under humanitarian parole, which is separate from the special immigrant visa program. In other words, this individual, Mr. Mohammed, the accused rapist, was an unvetted Afghan evacuee placed in Montana by the Biden administration. Looking at the New York Post, high-profile former Trump administrative officials are urging border states like Texas to declare that they're under invasion by illegal immigration and then use state law enforcement to return them to Mexico, people suspected of illegally entering the United States. This is a provocative policy outlined by Ken Guccinelli. He's the former acting director, deputy director of the Department of Homeland Security. He said there can be no disputing that the documented influx of well over 1.3 million immigrants this calendar alone and thousands of pounds of fentanyl and other deadly narcotics facilitated by the widespread human trafficking efforts of violent cross-border international drug cartels constitutes both an invasion and an imminent danger and will not admit delay for purposes of Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution. Guccinelli said if the idea was implemented, officials would be able to take migrants who cross the Rio Grande, sail them back across the river to Mexico, saying there would be no processing requirements. From Newsmax.com, Operation Lone Star, ordered by Governor Abbott, has resulted in over 7,700 migrants arrested on criminal charges. In addition, 73,000-plus migrant apprehensions and referrals and 822 vehicle pursuits. We're not doing catch and release. We're doing catch and jail, said a DPS worker. Let's see, WND.com. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Rochelle Walensky told reporters that the nation's definition of fully vaccinated could change as the nation continues to increase the eligibility of COVID-19 booster shots. Saying, quote, we have not yet changed the definition of fully vaccinated. We'll continue to look at this. We'll need to update our definition of fully vaccinated in the future, the CDC director said. She's telling people if you're eligible for the booster, go ahead and get it, your booster, she said. Now, it's interesting that, folks, that's going to be a constantly moving goalpost. If you're fully vaccinated today, you won't be tomorrow. I mean, that's how this is going to work, in that they're going to change what the definition is of fully vaccinated. And when all of a sudden 5 months down the road or 6 months down the road you need another booster, you will not be considered fully vaccinated until you get that one and the next one and the next one after that. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has life been found on meteorites?
No, it hasn't, Chris, even though this fairy tale is continually repeated by my evolutionary colleagues. Microscopic studies of certain meteorites has led them to claim that they have seen hints of past microbial life. But other scientists have studied the same samples and are absolutely convinced that these are really just inorganic crystals or compounds. It's hard to overcome some of these stories once they hit the mainstream press and are repeated over and over again. But the fact is, life has not been found anywhere but on planet Earth, and it's here in abundance, just like we would expect from the Back to Genesis truth of creation.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
We've got a news roundup program here today on Crosstalk, keeping you informed on critical issues here across the nation. Be in prayer for the U.S. Supreme Court because, as has been reported earlier, they have set this coming November 1st, Monday, for oral arguments on the Texas abortion case. This is a case that they're going to be hearing. And then 1 month later is the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization that's being argued on December 1st. So the first one is Texas and where things stand there. Be praying for them. LifeNews.com has a story about the Texas pregnancy centers are saving a record number of babies from abortions thanks to this heartbeat law in the state of Texas. Record numbers that there have been pro-life leaders in the state estimate the law is saving as many as 100 babies' lives every single day. And that's to the heartbeat law, which is on the docket here for Monday before the U.S. Supreme Court. So be, again, praying regarding this. Certainly, we would desire that even that abortion will be illegal prior to a heartbeat being detected as well, so that there is no abortion allowed across this land. CBN News is reporting millions of children in America could soon be vaccinated from the coronavirus because a FDA panel green-lighted Pfizer's low-dose vaccine for kids. Conflicting reports, some have said it was a unanimous vote, and another story said 17 of 18 members of the panel approved it. But a voting member, this is what's important here, a voting member of the Food and Drug Administration's advisory committee admitted Tuesday of this week that whether or not Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine is safe for 5 to 11-year-old children won't be known fully until it begins being administered. Did you hear that? He says we're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it. We need to start giving it, he's saying, until we find, and that will tell us how safe it is. I want you to listen. You're going to hear in your own words. This is a Dr. Rubin, okay? FDA advisory panel.
But we're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is unless we start giving it. That's just the way it goes.
Okay, that's just the way it goes. We're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it. That's just the way it goes. Want to line up? Here's from WND.com. Yale epidemiologist Dr. Harvey Risch is advising parents to remove their children from any public school that forces students to get the shots. Risch said Sunday night in an interview that children with serious chronic conditions should be considered for vaccination. Other than that, if it were my child, I would homeschool them. He said he's a professor of epidemiology in the Department of Epidemiology and Public Health at the Yale School of Public Health and Yale School of Medicine. He's a former member of the Board of Editors for the American Journal of Epidemiology. He's an author of more than 350 original peer-reviewed research publications. He said, honestly, I would organize with other parents to take them out of the school and create homeschooling environments. There's no choice. Your child's life is on the line. This is a Yale epidemiologist. Let's also go to another professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, Martin Kulldorff, also a biostatistician at the Brigham and Women's Hospital. He serves on scientific advisory committees to the Food and Drug Administration and Centers for Disease Control. He said children should not get vaccinated against the virus that causes COVID-19. FDA panel member Dr. Eric Rubin called the vaccine pretty safe in one article, but in a separate interview said we're never going to learn about how safe the vaccine is until we start giving it. I played that clip just a bit ago. But here is Martin Kulldorff, professor of medicine at Harvard, warning against this as well. Now, LifeSciteNews.com is reporting this story. A board-certified pathologist who runs a diagnostics lab said he's been seeing clotting in the lungs, vessels, and brain in patients due to the COVID-19 jabs. In an October 20th video posted by America's Frontline Doctors, the group's medical director, Dr. Ryan Cole, said, under the microscope, we're seeing clotting in the lungs, we see clotting in the vessels, and we see clotting in the brain, not from the virus, but from the spike protein from the vaccine itself. Cole said the COVID vaccines have done more damage than any other medical product, therapy, shot, modality of anything we've ever allowed to stay in the market to this point. Do I mean to sound alarmist? No, I'm being factual, he said. And when I look at it under the microscope and I see the parts of people or people no longer that are no longer with us, the damage and the disease is caused by that spike protein, he emphasized. Now, Lord willing, there is going to be a medical doctor with us next week here in the program, Dr. Elizabeth Vliet, with some startling information as it relates to this topic. Let's go to the Gateway Pundit. Former CDC Director Robert Redfield said on Monday that more than 40% of people who have died from Wuhan coronavirus in the state of Maryland over the last 6 to 8 weeks were fully vaccinated. Again, folks, this is the former director of the CDC, Robert Redfield, who said that more than 40% of the people who've died from COVID in the state of Maryland over the last 6 to 8 weeks were, quote, fully vaccinated. Andy Owen, though a spokesman for the Maryland Department of Health, had a different claim, saying from September 1 to October 15th, only 30% of Marylanders who died of confirmed COVID were fully vaccinated. Well, 30%, 40% of those that were fully vaccinated? Also from WND.com. Folks, I'm not making these up. These are medical professionals from around the country. Many, some are peer-reviewed in many, many articles. WND.com. Breakthrough cases are killing people and will only get worse. A recent release of data from an important study by the Department of Defense merits very serious attention. It's called Project Salus Study, S-A-L-U-S. One indication of how important the data is that the official website that featured the data has now been taken down. Why? Because the data undercut the establishment argument in favor of COVID vaccines and downplaying of breakthrough infections. The title of the report is Effectiveness of mRNA COVID-19 Vaccines Against the Delta Variant Among 5.6 Million Medicare Beneficiaries 65 Years and Older, dated September 28, 2021. The DOD study got access to the medical data for those people who were fully vaccinated. 2.7 million got the Pfizer shot. 2.9 million got the Moderna one. There were 161,000 breakthrough cases, 33,000 hospitalizations, 10,400 intensive care unit admissions, 3,381 deaths for a death rate of 2.1%. The DOD data undercount the true negative impacts of breakthrough infections. The principal reason is that the study followed CDC procedure in not counting any negative health impacts occurring within 14 days of the last vaccine shot. That's important because some analyses have found that high fractions of negative health impacts, such as vaccine-induced blood problems, happen within a few days of the vaccination. So the omission is a deliberate deception aimed solely at undercounting negative health impacts of vaccines. It should also be noted that this study did not examine serious adverse health impacts, including death resulting from the vaccines, without any COVID infection long before and possibly long after breakthrough infections. Very interesting. Another cause of undercounting breakthrough deaths is that they are likely counted as only COVID deaths, not taking into account full vaccinated status. Taking all these factors into account, the total number of breakthrough deaths for the nation is likely in the 10,000 to 20,000 range. It's rising as more vaccinated people have been declining vaccine effectiveness, the story says. So breakthrough cases are killing people. And here the article, WND.com, you can read all the statistics. They were actually put up there by the Department of Defense and then taken down. Okay, let's go to the World Tribune. More than 100 members of Congress and their staff members have been treated for COVID-19 with ivermectin, a physician reported. Dr. Pierre Corey, president and chief medical officer of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, tweeted out October 7th. Fun fact, between 100 to 200 United States Congress members, plus many of their staffers and family members with COVID, were treated by a colleague over the past 15 months with ivermectin and the eye mask and protocol at flccc.net. None have gone to the hospital, he tweeted out, just saying. Interesting. Meanwhile, in Australia, Parliament tried to shut down the Member of Parliament, Craig Kelly, even for saying the word ivermectin. Interesting story from WND.com. The Honolulu Police Department in Hawaii is using a $150,000 robot named Spot to take the temperatures of homeless people in its efforts to combat COVID-19. They reported that Spot is a product of Boston Dynamics, capable of taking a person's temperature from a distance of 7 feet in a fraction of a second. also has two-way communication, can deliver the personal protective equipment, food, and water to someone who does test positive for COVID. So now Spot is out gathering temperatures. Newsmax.com, Governor DeSantis and the state of Florida have sued President Biden, NASA, and other government agencies over the, quote, unlawful COVID-19 vaccine mandates that require federal contractors to get vaccinated and threaten the state's economy. Biden's mandate requires federal contractors to ensure workers are fully vaccinated by December the 8th. We also have word that the California high school student athlete, and there's also eight workers at the high security Los Alamos National Lab in New Mexico. They are the latest ones to file federal lawsuits that are challenging the mandatory requirements. California shut down another In-N-Out Burger place for not asking about the test if people were fully vaccinated or not. Lots of things going on. New York City workers are rallying against the vaccine mandates. Nearly 50,000 city employees who have yet to be vaccinated. And Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that only the inoculated can work. No longer will negative COVID test results be allowed. They won't be accepted. It's a mandate now for all city agencies, all city workers. He said it's time for everyone to get vaccinated or public employees are going to lead us out of the COVID era, he said. He's also offering another $500 incentive for workers to get their shot. Going to cost them $23 million, and that's not sitting well with the union for those members who already received the shot, saying we should get ours too. New York City facing streets without cops because of the COVID vaccine mandate. Matter of fact, there's a number of officers in New York City that are refusing to take this, and as a result, public safety and security could be at risk. Western Journal reporting, Governor DeSantis of Florida said he wants his state to actively recruit police officers who are being forced out of their jobs elsewhere due to the vaccine shot mandates. Doing recruiting, he's pushing for a $5,000 bonus to those who come to the state. And also, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy is also inviting law enforcement officers to come to their state who have been denied employment due to the shot. Colorado patients denied life-saving organ transplants due to their COVID vaccination status. Well, they're also being welcomed in by Texas now for by an organ donation foundation. One woman was denied having a kidney transplant for not having the shot. Texas says, come on here, we'll take care of your medical needs. Let's see, LifeSiteNews.com. United Airlines pilot is leading a COVID revolt, files a medical freedom lawsuit with 2,000 fellow workers. Captain Sherry Walker, a pilot with 30 years of experience, co-founder of the Airline Employees and Health Freedom, started up to request and supply nearly 4,000 United Airlines airline industry workers to push back jab mandates in their workplace. Described these mandates for all employees with no exceptions allowed. Called it onerous and potentially not legal, and stated that the Airline Employees for Health Freedom will continue to move forward with lawsuits. I've got some more stories I'd like to share right after the break. Stay with us. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Nearly every common behavioral problem is considered to be a disease in American culture today. Gambling, overeating, and certainly drugs and alcohol. But God's Word lovingly tells us the truth about the very heart of addiction. Yet the Bible is a neglected resource for those who suffer from these so-called addictions. One of the reasons for this is that people choose to believe the theories and ideas of mankind that the disease renders them powerless to overcome the problem. However, a Christian is not powerless and has the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable them to say no to choices that will mentally enslave them. In the book, The Heart of Addiction, biblical counselor Mark Shaw confronts these life-dominating sins and provides biblical tools to help us examine our heart's motives at the root of addiction and how to obtain victory. The Heart of Addiction is available for a donation of $15 or more to VCY America. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Some more issues I'd like to present your way. Just a few more things. Mayo Clinic employees, too. This is ABC News, KAAL-TV, indicating that more than 8,000 staff members, Mayo Clinics, are unvaccinated. And they have, I understand, a December 3rd deadline for this to take place. That'll be interesting to see what falls out there. We had Pastor Pawlowski with us earlier this week. Now another Canadian pastor was arrested, reportedly violating the COVID-19 health orders, spent some time in jail as well, unless he agreed to stop preaching the gospel. Pastor Tobias Tissen, now he's from the province of Manitoba, detained by police during a traffic stop. A warrant for his arrest had been put out, and just for holding outdoor worship. Now, what happens is that it appears that there are two classes of people that are being put together here, those who have received the shot and those who have not. So we have the New Zealand Prime Minister, this is from LifeSiteNews.com, Jacinda Ardern, admitted that her new COVID restriction plan will lead to unvaccinated people becoming second-class citizens with fewer freedoms than vaccinated people. She made the admission during an interview last Friday, discussing the new traffic light system of restrictions that will eliminate almost all lockdowns for vaccinated people once the country hits 90% rates in every region. She agreed with the person questioning that they were creating two classes of people.
So you basically said this is going to be like, well, it's almost like, you probably don't see it like this, there's two different classes of people. If you're vaccinated or if you're unvaccinated, you have all these rights. If you are vaccinated...
That is what it is, so, yep. Yep.
Can you describe that you were previously hoping not to be able to, not to have to do that, I guess, when we still looked like we could maintain elimination across the whole country? I guess that has now changed because...
I think it was less because necessarily of the elimination determining that and more because we, of course, maintained, and actually we have managed very high vaccination rates generally without the use of certificates. But actually what it's become clear to me is that they're not just a tool to drive up vaccines. They're a tool for confidence. People who have been vaccinated will want to know that they're around other vaccinated people. They want to know that they're in a safe environment. It is a way that we can give confidence to those who are going back into hospitality or events. And so that is something that I think we should offer to people who have been vaccinated, that confidence that we're doing everything we can to keep them safe, and that they can come back out and start enjoying those things safely.
Isn't that something the shot doesn't keep you safe? American Military News, at least three people, potentially more, given the wrong or given COVID-19 vaccine shots instead of an entirely different vaccine at the Lewis Main Exchange at Joint Base Lewis McChord in Tacoma, Washington, reports first revealed. The U.S. Army is currently investigating that matter going on. There's plenty of evidence that people who have recovered from COVID have protection against reinfection, said Congresswoman Diana Harshbarger. She said there's ample scientific studies that show that natural immunity is absolutely one of the best things you could have. Some studies even show that it's more effective than vaccination. Well, she and 10 other members of the House of Representatives late last week introduced the Natural Immunity is Real Act, a companion to a Senate bill. It would require federal agencies to acknowledge, accept, and agree to truthfully present natural immunity pertaining to COVID-19 pursuant to promulgating certain regulations. Interesting things going on in the state of Wisconsin. Racine County Sheriff's Office yesterday unveiled results of its probe into alleged election fraud in a local nursing home and long-term facilities across the state and said four state laws were broken, the Center Square reports. Matter of fact, they found that election statute was, in fact, just not broken but shattered by members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, said Sheriff Christopher Schmeling during a press conference yesterday. Investigation came about when a woman named Judy signed a sworn affidavit with the Elections Commission after she discovered that her mother, who had died October 9th, 2020, after a period of severe cognitive decline, had voted in the 2020 presidential election. The affidavit was later passed along as a complaint to the county district attorney. 42 people had voted in the presidential election from this facility. The number is usually 10. They found a lot of inconsistencies. Time doesn't permit me to go fully into that story. for folk in the state of Wisconsin, but State Representative Joe Sanfilippo is calling for a resignation, or rather the immediate dismissal of Megan Wolf as the Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator. Very interesting indeed. Another big issue that's been going on is blaming parents as branding them, you know, branding them as domestic terrorists. Those who are speaking up on issues at school board meetings, and Senator Tom Cotton and others grilled the Attorney General Merrick Garland this week on this matter. And I'd like you to hear just some of the exchange. This is Senator Tom Cotton.
You've cited as the basis for that directive the National School Board Association's letter of September 29th. Was that directive being prepared before September 29th, before the School Board Association letter was issued?
I don't believe so. Certainly, I didn't have any idea.
So it was only prepared at... Okay, I think that answers the question.
I already answered that
question. So you keep citing the school board letter and news reports.
One of the news reports
cited in that letter, which you presumably mean, is from Loudoun County, Virginia.
No, that is not what I was talking about.
Well, you keep citing news reports, and that's the most prominent news report that anyone in America has seen. That refers to Scott Smith, whose 15-year-old daughter was raped. She was raped in a bathroom by a boy wearing girls' clothes, and the Loudoun County School Board covered it up because it would have interfered with their transgendered policy during Pride Month. And that man, Scott Smith, because he went to a school board and tried to defend his daughter's rights, was condemned internationally. Do you apologize to Scott Smith and his 15-year-old daughter, Judge?
Senator, anyone who's... child was raped as the most horrific crime I can imagine, and is certainly entitled and protected by the First Amendment to protest to their school board about this.
But he was cited by the School Board Association.
That's fine.
And a domestic
terrorist,
which we now know that letter and those reports were the basis for your.
No, Senator.
This is
that's wrong.
Judge, this is shameful. This testimony, your directive, your performance is shameful.
Okay. That's not.
Thank God you are not on the Supreme Court. You should resign in disgrace, Judge.
Wow, powerful words there from Senator Cotton and Senator Hawley also at that hearing calling for the resignation of Judge Merrick Garland, now the U.S. Attorney General. By the way, there's something getting underway this weekend called COP26. This is a global climate summit that is going to get underway. We've been communicating with Alex Newman, who is going to be joining us on Monday, the 15th of November, for Crosstalk, because this runs from October 31st through November 12th, and he'll be providing a report on it. But in leading up to this, as people are flying, you know, their private jets and everything from all over the world to come to it, here's a statement from John Kerry leading up to COP26.
Let's be clear. The time for debating the causes of climate change is long over. And the time for action is also long overdue. And needless to say, the stakes could not be higher. Let me be clear. No one is exaggerating when they call this an existential threat. Just ask the people in the Marshall Islands, Fiji, or in the vulnerable nations of the world. So that is what makes this the decade of decision. And now we must make it the decade of action. To prevent catastrophe, the scientists tell us that we must cut our global greenhouse gas emissions by at least 45% by 2030 in order to get to net zero by 2050. We head to Glasgow in that context. And I head to Glasgow an optimist.
Okay, John Kerry speaking, and talking about the upcoming conference. Again, this gets underway October 31st, worldwide conference here, COP26 on the so-called global climate change. If you remember back in 2018, we were warned we have 12 years to limit climate change catastrophe. We were warned that by the United Nations. Critically important to keep abreast of what's happening with this upcoming conference, going to have worldwide impact. Let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, I know there are those advocating for people to reach out to the FDA to speak out in regard to the shots for children. We understand that it is likely going to start out voluntary, but we're going to see where schools will mandate this. And you've got officials that have said that happens to your school. He's warning this medical doctors to pull your children out. That's his words, not mine. But we'd like to hear from what you have to say on the many issues hitting us here today. 800-733-9829. Do want to warn you about something else that's going on. You know that there's an attempt to stack the United States Supreme Court. Back some months ago, there was legislation introduced called H.R. 2584, the Judiciary Act of 2021. I just want to make you aware that it's been intensifying as far as its sponsorship is concerned. It was first introduced, I think it was about middle April, but over the last month here, this month of October, there have been another five co-sponsors of this legislation. That number of co-sponsors is now up to 40 in the United States Senate, up to 40 sponsors. Joining this month of October has been, this is legislators from, let's see, Maine, California, Arizona, Nevada, and California have signed on. This is House Judiciary Act 2021. It's H.R. 2584, now up to 40 co-sponsors. That's on the House side to push for the increase of justices from 9 to 13. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Laura is calling from Hollywood, Maryland. Laura, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. I am just blown away by this ridiculousness of COVID-19. I just got a call from my sister who's, you know, currently pregnant, going through the throes of that, and her husband's job is now on the line and being kicked out of the guard dishonorably.
My.
It's just ridiculous. And she's got three kids, and I'm like, this is definitely a time to be trusting the Lord, you know, but it's still, now it's a dishonorable discharge because we can't force you to take a vaccine.
Yeah. I would encourage him, because there's been a class action lawsuit that's been filed on behalf of members of the military by Liberty Council.
Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Is that still open? I think my sister said that it was closed.
I would encourage you to call Liberty Council and speak with them directly. Do you have their number?
I do not.
Okay, it's 407
875
1776.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It, Jim.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. Leroy, you're on the air.
Good day, Jim. I have a story for you, and I have to comment on a story you brought yesterday about Portland passing a bill for bereavement for abortion.
Yeah.
Well, please pass this on to Matt. He should beat them over the head with that, because if they pass it, they're admitting someone died. And if they're admitting someone died, then they have to tell the truth about what abortion actually is.
Leroy, your problem is you're thinking too sensibly here. Yeah, you're exactly
but here's
right.
Here's the story locally I have to share with you.
Okay, you said, just hold, please. I'm up against a break. I'll have you share that just here momentarily. So stay with us, Leroy. We'll get to you right after 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Israel has jumped in aggressively with the vaccine. They've also jumped in aggressively with green passports. Many believe, as do I, that all of this technology and all of this tracking, and as the Prime Minister of New Zealand has said, the setting up literally of two classes, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, is preparing the way for a global system led by the Antichrist, where no one will be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark. Please note, I'm not saying this is the mark of the beast. It is laying the foundation for it. And it does indeed appear as though Israel is leading the way. But should we be shocked? No, because they will eventually enter into a peace accord with the Antichrist for 3.5 years. Do not let what the Jews are doing cause you to believe or support the idea of anti-Semitism. Jews sin, Christians sin, Gentiles sin. God will use this sin to bring them to repentance.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Hey, by the way, something's going on here with this new Apple iPhone update. We understand, and there was a report on the dissenter, that it's adding the digital vaccine passport to the Apple Wallet payment system. Isn't that interesting? That is the, let's see, I'm trying to look for the update. It's 15 point something as far as the update is concerned. But it's adding the digital vaccine passport to Apple Wallet payment system. A very interesting combination there. Here it is, 15.1, iOS 15.1, add SharePlay, an entirely new way to have shared experiences with family and friends in FaceTime. This release also adds the ability to capture ProRes video and verifiable COVID-19 vaccination cards in Apple Wallet, along with other features and bug fixes for your iPhone. Let's get back to Leroy calling from Atlanta. Hi, Leroy. You had something to share.
Oh, absolutely, Jim. Here locally, I'm not going to give the name of the TV station, but I will give the announcer's name. Her name is Jovita Moore. Back in March, she announced that she had brain tumors, and she took leave. And today, they put it out in the news that she had passed from those brain tumors.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Two hours later, my cousin sent me a story that said 12 days after she got her second shot, her brain tumors developed. And she said the same thing that Hank Aaron said, that Magic Johnson said 2 weeks ago, that I'm doing this so other people know it's safe and effective and they won't be afraid. And now her three children don't have her here. And she is survived by her mother. No one's dancing on these people's graves.
No.
This is not a reason to celebrate.
No, not at all. Not at all. Very tragic. No. Thank you, Leroy, for sharing this. Terry in Danville, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for being there. I want to direct all your listeners back to a program that you had with Gary Kaw, and it was titled The Pope Pushes Global Governance.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have heard is why they've basically blacked out his meeting with Biden tomorrow is because of that very reason, what they're going to be talking about, and that we should be prepared to hear what the Pope has to say about the importance of global governance. Gary Kaw did a great job on that program, and I'm going to go back and revisit it myself just to get reminded of what we should be looking for. Spiritual warfare from the get-go, it is what it is, and we just need to be living in anticipation of our soon coming King. Mm. Thank you for being here, Jim.
Thank you, Terry. Robert in Marana, Arizona, you're on the air.
Yes, in regards to all that's going on, along with this climate change, you know, the summit that they're going to be having, they're regulating everything from travel, regulating everything in business, monitoring everybody in travel. They're taking steps to control all natural resources and all buying and selling, just like the Bible says. And then as they push this climate agenda, they're going to see during the tribulation how the hand of God moves, because there is going to be great hailstones. There's going to be massive earthquakes.
Yeah, yeah.
There is going to be signs and wonders and judgments on those that know not God.
Yeah, this is not going to be man-caused, man-created. This is judgment that's coming from God and eventual judgment, yes.
Yeah, notice they said within 12 years. Within 12 years, they have to do these things, this, and this. And it seems to me, it seems to be following what the gospel had long said would take place in the latter days, which are present day.
Thank you for your observations here, Robert. David in Santa Fe, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Hello, Jim. I'm just thinking about everything we report on every day, and this Biden administration is so lawless, so unconstitutional. It's leading to, I mean, there just isn't any kind of respect or reverence for anybody kind of holding any kind of public office. I mean, basically, if they cross the street, they're going to assault you verbally or worse. But, you know, so it is, because there's nothing meaning anything anymore. Every speech is so hollow and ridiculous. I don't know how it can come out of his mouth.
Yeah, yeah, it is. You have to wonder who is pulling the strings. who is pulling the strings.
Yeah, but Jesus is obviously going to have the last word on that.
Amen.
So.
Amen. Yeah. Indeed. Thank you, David. William in East Troy, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim, wanted to mention that Representative Jason Smith from Missouri, he recently called out the Congress in regards to passing a reparations bill or the infrastructure bill, where they were going to produce a 1,700-page document for like an hour before they were supposed to meet to pass it. How could anybody possibly read what's in the document before that?
Can't.
Impossible. And then on the reparations side is what I was going to say is I heard that the Biden administration wants to give reparations to illegal border crossers like $450,000 a piece.
Yeah,
Is this money coming from?
Yeah, it's from you. You, William. I read that story earlier in the program here today. Pretty troubling indeed. Thanks. Let's go to Mark in Walla Walla, Washington. You're on the air.
Yes, just a warning to all Washington residents. The governor has he's authorized school nurses to give vaccinations to children down to 5 years of age without parental consent.
To give them without parental consent.
That's right. That was just passed just a couple days ago.
Wow. Mark, thank you for reporting that. Let's go to another caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Anonymous.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Me?
Yes.
Yes, I was calling. I work for a Bimbo Bakery, and they're sending out letters that they're going to follow the federal mandate on the Biden vaccine, the COVID vaccine, and they're not going to accept any religious or exemptions at all. And they're actually... I don't know where we could go as an employee to prevent having to take a jab that is proven not. You know,
I tell you what, I'm out of time here, but please get in contact with Liberty Counsel. Go to lc.org. You'll find where you can get legal help there at no cost, lc.org, or call them at 407-875-1776. And by the way, there is no Biden mandate for businesses 100 more. He said it's going to come forth from OSHA. OSHA hasn't issued this yet, folks. And even when they do, it's going to be found unconstitutional. There are going to be many that are going to go to fight against this as well. I'm out of time here, folks. Keep this nation in prayer. We're so in need of it. And I trust that you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church this coming Lord's Day. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.